just want to drop a few lessons that moms can teach their children from Scripture. I'll try to be brief because some of you I know will have suppers or dinners and all kinds of things, but just a few lessons, and I think that they're valid for all of us, those of us who are parents. First of all, we need to teach a lesson of complete faith. Hello? Timothy's a great character found in the New Testament. I love studying Timothy. He was somebody that came to faith through, I believe, the Apostle Paul, and we find that he came out of a relationship between a Jew and a Greek. His father was Greek, and it seems that he wasn't a believer in any way, shape, or form in Christ, and his mother was a Jewess, so she had a different form of worship, but his father and mother weren't on the same page in their faith. Whether Timothy's father ever had a faith in God, there's absolutely no evidence. In Acts 16, verses 1 and 3, we read twice that the father of Timothy was a Greek, and due to the fact that Paul made a decision to circumcise Timothy so that he would be seen as acceptable to the Jews who he would reach out to and whom they would be evangelizing, we can only assume that Timothy's father was secular and non-practicing. He didn't support his wife's faith in the Jewish faith. Yet Timothy had a faith and ultimately became a disciple of Christ and a companion of Paul wherever he traveled. We know that there was a strong influence in his life, an influence that taught him lessons about faith. And it came partly through Paul, but it also came from others. 2 Timothy 1:5 gives us the indication on how Timothy was given a lesson in faith, and it reads this way. I am reminded, as Paul says, of your sincere faith, as he's writing to Timothy, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Grandmothers and mothers have a great influence in sharing their faith with their kids. As a matter of fact, I know both my girls today are serving the Lord and in some leadership capacities. And as they do so in the church, I'm grateful for a wife who was a godly woman. And when I was so busy with church, sometimes 4, 5, 6 nights a week, and busy, busy, busy all the time with the flock, that was her flock. And she passed on her strong faith to her daughters. In Acts 16, 1-3, we're told that Timothy was from Lystra, which was one of the cities of the day, and Paul had traveled there on his first missionary journeys. Things started well for him as he shared the gospel in that city, but a group of Jews who were zealous showed up and won the crowd over against the Apostle Paul from sharing about Christ. The Bible says that Paul was stoned. They cast stones at him and dragged him out of the city. But Acts chapter 14, 19-20 tells us that some disciples gathered around him and he got up and went back into the city. And I'm thinking in my mind, likely Lois and Eunice were two of the early disciples in that city that helped Paul. What does the Bible say is from infancy that Paul knew the Holy Scriptures? 2 Timothy 3:15 says this, it wasn't his father that passed on a depth of faith and lessons of faith. Timothy obviously learned great biblical truth from his mom and his grandmom, two women who taught him their faith. And it was they who taught him about God's love. Even without a lack of support from her husband, Eunice taught her son the truth of God's word. Timothy heard of God's plan to rescue him. And he heard that the world was condemned because of their sin. But he also heard that God loved the world enough that he sent his son to die on a cross. And as a result of that, through him, we can be saved from the punishment and the guilt of our sin. While there's no evidence that Timothy ever attended a seminary of any kind, he became an evangelist and a partner with the Apostle Paul because of the depth of faith that was passed on to him by two godly women. Mom, Grandma, if you're here today, as believers in Jesus Christ, there's a challenge for you to take on as your own. A challenge that when you spend time with your children or your grandchildren, face-to-face or online, to teach about a life of faith. That's the greatest thing that you can pass on. To daily take time, Mom, to make a story of Christ's life come alive. Or to weekly take time, Grandma, to ensure that what has truly mattered to you, will continue to live in the lives of those who follow you. Pass on biblical truth and values that grow faith one day at a time. There's a second lesson, I believe, beyond teaching that kind of faith that's important, and it's a lesson of courageous prayer. You ever listen to someone pray and it's grasped you, it's caught you off guard, it's almost astonished you at how close they seem to God and how they could pray? I was sitting one time in, it was actually a Baptist church, but it was there for a Billy Graham crusade that was happening in Toronto. The place was packed and the chairman of prayer came up and he prayed. I just wish he'd gone on for hours. It was stunning and how close he seemed to God as he prayed. Well, I believe that was the kind of prayer life that was taught to Timothy. Let's take a little look at another mother, though. That mother's name was Mrs. Zebedee. Ever heard of her? Ever heard of her? It's likely she was Salome, a woman whose name is referenced in a variety of biblical passages. In Mark chapter 15, verses 40 and 41, Salome is named as one of the women who was present at the crucifixion as Jesus hung on a cross between two thieves, and also ministered to Jesus. The Bible there says there were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the Less and of Joses. And Salome also followed him and ministered to him when he was in Galilee. So there's her name. And then it says, and many other women who followed him to Jerusalem. So there were a lot of women on Calvary around the cross. And the parallel passage of Matthew 27:56 reads, among which was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joses and the mother of Zebedee's children. That's why it seems very clear her name was Salome. In Matthew 20, Salome, the mother of Zebedee's sons, James and John, went to Jesus. And she met Jesus and she had a favor to ask of him. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit on your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. The Bible says that she went to Jesus and she knelt down. That's the posture of prayer. She had reverence and respect and faith. Some of us might see her as being a little too bold. After all of people in the universe, and she's asking for her sons to sit on the sides of Jesus when he enters his kingdom, when he's sitting on his throne. Maybe she was wanting too much for her sons. Maybe she was audacious, even zealous. But here's the thing. She prayed boldly. She asked for something enormous. It was a big prayer. Notice that Jesus didn't rebuke her for what she asked. After all, her two sons were already in the inner circle of Jesus, Peter, James, and John. And they were at very significant friends of his and lived with him and traveled with him at very significant points in his life. And while he didn't grant her request outright, neither did Jesus outrightly deny what she was asking. He didn't say, that's impossible, get away, lady. Instead, he listened to her. You know, sometimes when we pray with our kids, we try to oversimplify prayer. You ever done the, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take prayer. You ever done that one? You know what I'm talking about? And the kids repeat this night after night, and ultimately it has no meaning to them. And it can seem mundane, even to a young mind. If you're like me, at times in your life, you have some pretty big needs. Things that seem way beyond what you can take care of, or the doctor can take care of, the lawyer, or the counselor, way beyond. The Bible makes it clear that even in our big needs, God will listen when we tell him the things that we need. And moms and grandmoms, even dads and granddads, help your children to pray boldly. Boldly to ask God in their own words for things that are of great consequence in their lives, to pray with faith for the impossible things in life. I loved it when there was a sickness, when my daughter was attending a church in Sherwood Park, and her, at that time, 7-year-old son said, let me pray. And he prayed, and the boy who had injured his leg, the next day, it was completely well. Why? Because it was a big prayer for that boy to pray for at age 7. And as a result, there was a healing that took place. And Marcus knows without a doubt that God can do absolutely anything today. To pray with faith for the impossible things in life is a huge challenge, but children need to know that as they grow up. To know that if we ask, we'll receive. If we seek, we will find. If we knock, the door will be open to us. And sometimes it's because we haven't yet learned to be bold that we don't pray that way. It's time to up the game, if I could say it that way, to refuse to see yourself living below what God can do, to ask in a bold way and in a big way, whatever it is that you have in life as a challenge or an obstacle, and to teach a lesson to your children in courageous praying. And there's one more lesson I think that's important that's from Scripture. Obviously, we've already touched on it to some degree when we read Proverbs 31. And you know, ladies, I'm sure when you hear the Proverbs 31 lady, you cringe. You think, oh my goodness, who could ever be like her? I can't live up to her standards. The Proverbs 31 woman almost seems to be a standard that is above any person in life. Yet as I read the passage again, I read it and I came to the conclusion that two things were especially relevant from her life. Two things. First of all, she used her time wisely. She used her time wisely. This woman knew how to plan her days. Some people drift through life, but she knew how to plan her days. She ensured that she didn't waste a lot of time. She ensured to get everything done and that her home was orderly, and so she plotted and planned her time to ensure that everything that was needed to be accomplished was. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. That's what we read. She's like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers the field and buys it out of her earnings and plants vineyards. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks, and she sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. Wow. Frightens me. I can't imagine being married to someone like that. What's left for me to do? But ladies, you can use your time wisely too, and so can we as men. Be organized. Keep a list of what you need to do in a day. Include your kids in getting it done. Assign them little things and make it fun while they work with you in those things. I remember in our early days, my wife sewed, baked, cleaned, and knitted. Those were some of the key things that she did. In fact, her fingers flew when she knitted. We were in a large church, and every single new couple that came into the church for their first child, she knitted a beautiful baby blanket for that baby. And had it never to present in front of the congregation, that would have killed her. But she would invite them to our home for a meal, and then she would give this as a gift. And she did this. She spent her time constantly doing those things and using her time wisely. And my daughters have learned some of those skills after her. Teach your kids. And then she managed her money well. This lady buys wool and flax and food and property and linen. Few of us could ever do all that she did unless we managed our assets well. You know, in our day and age, there's a lot of wastefulness, isn't there? So much wastefulness, particularly in our society. And we need to ensure that we're not careless in using the resources that we have at hand. So to do that, moms, every time you shop, oh, he's starting to meddle here. But every time you shop, ask yourself a question. Do I really need this? Ooh. Do I really need this? Is it a luxury or is it a necessity? And help your kids to see that we can stretch our dollars when we refuse to be wasteful, and you'll be passing on an incredible lesson in administration. Using your time wisely and managing your money well. Consider teaching your children these great lessons taught by three moms this morning. I believe in certain ways that they talked about it. And consider some biblical lessons that can be taught to your children as well. A lesson of complete faith, to trust in God for salvation. You see, if we don't know God first that way, then we don't have a future. Life is 50, 60, 70, 80 years. We don't know how long. It's not very long, though. But when we think of it, there's a whole eternity out there waiting for us. This is only a preparation for that eternity. a lesson in complete faith, and to follow him by every precept of his word. Secondly, a lesson of courageous prayer, to ask God for the impossible situations to be resolved and include your kids in that. They might have just the faith that's needed to push it through. And to ask big, bold prayers, knowing that God-sized prayer bring God-sized answers. And finally, a lesson in conscientious administration. Let your children observe you using your time wisely, and that they might see you managing your money well. Let's pray. Father, we know this morning that there are some wonderful truths in your word that all of us can learn. This is a day to honor mothers and to celebrate their lives and the things that they do for their children. And I pray as we've looked at just a few things that could help them be the best mothers that they could, I pray that you would encourage them, challenge them, uplift them, and guide them in the lessons they need to use on a constant basis to teach their children the important things that matter to you. In Jesus' name.